feeling so holy, God knows I was feeling alive. Now the sun's coming up, I'm riding with Lady
Alex, and welcome to Music Cast number 6, I think. It might be 5. Pretty sure it's not 7. Either way, it's episode 160 on the now back to being properly numbered Alex Cast. Though I probably shouldn't have said that because it's likely that earlier in the show I misnumbered and didn't notice. But if you look on the current iTunes feed, you will see episodes 156, 157, 159. 159A, and now 160, Music Cast number 6-ish. That was Ol' 55 by Tom Waits. It's likely that I've played that song before on this show. There's nothing I can do about that, because I wanted to play that song for this reason and this reason only. Well, a lot of other reasons, but it's odd when you have a song that at one point carries a certain kind of weight to it, an emotional resonance. And then over the years, it changes, or, you know, you change, and the song moves with you somehow. So it's odd when a song can speak to two different variants of you. I remember listening to Ol' 55 in New Jersey, and I remember listening to Tom Waits a lot in New Jersey. And in New Jersey, I was a blues-inspired cigarette smoker. I was very much of a Tom Waits ilk. It made sense to romanticize driving around in, you know, an old car. Romanticized in kind of a depressed way, actually, weirdly enough. I guess it's not that weird. You know this show if you're listening to this. Me romanticizing depression isn't all that surprising. But in this case, I'm playing Old 55 because it's not a depressing song to me anymore, weirdly enough. Lately, I've had these strange urges to... How does one say it? Lately, I've had these... change in heart that the idea of driving around in an old beat-up car on the East Coast while you're thinking about a girl seems pretty all right to me. It's been a long time since I thought anything about the East Coast was pretty all right to me, so pretty cool. Though, if you listen to previous music episodes, I'm sure at one point I described it's an Invitation to the Blues. Invitation to the Blues, as people would say it. But Tom goes, but there's nothing left in Jersey but a broken down jalopy of the man I left behind. So the dreams that I've been chasing, my khakis and my shoes, is just an invitation to the blues. It's a fucking good song. Anyway, the point is, I guess sometime between 2006 or 2004, whenever I moved to the West Coast, and now, Mr. Tommy Waits shifted from romantic depression to certain amounts of nostalgia. And then recently, even more recently than the recent I'm describing, he's shifted to a kind of longing for the East Coast. Another one, actually, I don't remember what song this is, but he goes, I never saw the East Coast until I moved to the West. Never seen a melody to curl down your face. What the fuck song is that? Oh, it was one of the kind of early crooning ones. Yeah, whatever. Anyway, that's Old 55, Tom Waits. How good is that? I'll answer for you. It's really fucking good. So, yeah, this is an episode of the show where I play music. If you haven't heard a music cast before, generally I play songs I like that have some kind of meaning behind them. Sometimes I just play songs I like. Sometimes I just play new music that I found. That's kind of rare. And I've also said too many sometimes because there's only been 5 or 6 episodes of this. So I haven't played that many songs, so I can't really like give this whole rundown of, oh, well, sometimes I do this on my music show because I've played, what, 32 songs maybe? But that's what I'm planning on doing. I'm glad that even in these episodes, these music casts, as I like to call them, I can still ramble pointlessly and really not stick to the script. But I do have a script sitting in front of me. I'm just trying to figure out what I want to play next. So I think from Old 55, let's go with... Oh, this is a good theme. We'll do a little cover song. So I don't know if I've actually played one of these on the show before, but Amanda Palmer from the Dresden Dolls and of Amanda Palmer, and now of being married to Neil Gaiman, which is kind of awesome. At least I hope they're still married. If they're not, I just sure made a fool of myself. Sorry, Neil, I know you're listening. But Amanda Palmer, who's lovely, did an album where she did all covers of Radiohead songs on a ukulele. And that's pretty cool, right? I think so. So I'm going to play that for you. This is the Radiohead song that you're never going to hear them play live, but I personally think Tom York? Yeah. Being kind of a prick about it, because I actually think it's a really beautiful song. So yeah, I'm going to play Amanda doing Creep, because I think it's cool. And, you know, maybe it's just the, I don't know, maybe it's just the Alex in me, but I just think lyrically it's an interesting song. I think it's just, he's a weird dude and he got popular off of it. So yeah, but I like it. I think it's nice. But anyway, yeah, so here's Amanda Palmer doing Creep.
One you were here before. want you to notice, and I'm not around. You're so fucking special. I wish I was special.
Yeah, let's do another one. So I'm going to play another Amanda Palmer song. This is off of, I think, Theater is Evil. It's one of her solo records, because I'm 100 and you say, do you still say solo records? What do kids call it? Releases? Solo works? Compilation of songs that go together in one release? They called them records when I was a kid because records existed. Is she hip enough to have records? Am I spinning wax right now? Is this my awesome fake radio episode? Well, it is. So, good times. So, coming up next on Dow, we're going to play Amanda Palmer, The Killing Type. I'm playing the song for this reason. All that stuff I said before about Amanda Palmer, which I don't remember what it was, but this song is... I like it. That's really what it comes down to. No, I like the progression of it. The concept is not to try to explain a song to you, but I'm going to because that's what I do. I over-explain things and I use words. It's part of my charm. That and I really like, I have like a cherubic face that makes people want to trust me. Those two. So charm, cherubic face, and over-explaining things. So if you ever need to wonder why you've fallen madly in love with this man you listen to over the podcast airwaves, you now know. So, I like the song because I just like the context of it. Is the entire song is about, you know, kind of pacifism, like, and not understanding it. Like, it's, essentially one of the lines is like, I don't understand war. I don't know what they're doing it for. It seems so terribly fake, yada, yada. And I like that because that's sort of how I think. That's very much how I think. I don't understand war. It doesn't make sense to me. And this is, I've explained this to people many times because it's often a topic of conversation that I'm borderline retarded on some things, and then I can understand really, really ridiculously complex concepts with almost no effort on the other side. And war is one of those ones I literally don't understand. In the modern context, I understand Rome. I understand the English Empire. I understand the war back when it was, we're going to go beat that country up, and then that country is now ours. I get that. Not saying I agree with it. I don't agree with it. But I get it. I get deposing a leader, I suppose, like a Hitler kind of thing, where it's you need to get this person out of power. What I don't understand is war as it is now, where it's the war in the modern era, the post kind of popularization of computer era, is I don't understand, and this is the lyrics, I guess, I don't understand what they're doing it for. I don't understand what we're doing in Iraq, let's say. I don't even know if we're still in Iraq, Saudi Arabia, wherever the hell we are. And I apologize, everybody's like, wow, Alex, you're really ignorant about politics. It's because I used to not be, and it depressed me. And I think that's kind of the crux of the reason, because I don't get it. I don't know what we're doing there. I've looked into it. I don't understand what the cause of the war is. So, like, if we're peacekeeping or whatever, we need to change our charter as Americans that we're peacekeepers. Like, we're supposed to be the United States, but we're not, apparently. I mean, we are the United States, but, like, I don't understand why we're there. I don't understand why we're protecting Israel. Not to say anything politically behind that. I literally don't get it. Like, when did it become our job to be the world police? And if it is our job, well, let's put that shit in writing and have everybody else decide on this, not just this arbitrary thing. So I don't understand why we're going out and murdering people for what it seems to be to me, no point. I mean, it's murder. I don't understand what they do it for. You'll understand. Amanda's about to tell you in much better, wording and, you know, a much more attractive person. Let's face it. I think a lot of people will disagree with that last statement. Oh, we know a lot of people don't know what I look like, but if you're assuming me to be like a not like horrible looking person, a lot of people think Amanda Palmer is unattractive, which I don't understand. I think she's fucking gorgeous. Yeah, there's actually a picture that was being passed around a bit in my friend's circle of her playing piano, and she's just all sweaty and to me, it looks passionate. It looks like she's really like really trying to get her soul out. I thought it was beautiful, but, apparently she's ugly. I don't understand that. But I also don't understand why people find me attractive when they like my personality, which is odd because I find her attractive because I like her personality, which is weird. So I think I'm a self-hating Jew is the problem, is what it's coming down to. And that's why I want the peacekeeping forces of the United States to invade Israel. So, yeah, here's Amanda Palmer, the killing type. W4XD.
I wouldn't kill to win a war. I don't get what they do it for. It's all so terribly vague. I see the pictures from a thousand years of battle, and I think it's such a bore. I walk New Orleans with a knife. Like Nike hidden out of sight. But I'd be useless if they jumped. I'm really not the killing type. Oh, 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 oh. I'm not the killing type. I'm not the killing type. I'm not the killing type. I'm not. I've got a picture of your mom before the war when she was young. She's got an etching to her right. I think it's funny that she's looking to the left, and it's a sign I wouldn't kill to get you back. We'll be right back. emotions are just right. And you are standing on a cliff. And you can close your eyes and make a wish and take a step and change.
Thank you, Amanda Palmer. Thank you very much. My name's Alex, and I'm your late-night DJ. I'll be with you until 4 a.m. when Bone Dog and the Squeaky Horn come in. Gonna do a little morning zoo action for you. Find out what the weather's like. Find out traffic. Stay tuned. That was The Killing Type. I like that song. I explained why. I over-explained why. I rambled. Somehow I started talking about why people are attractive. That was weird. I don't know where that came from. But it happened. But I guess that's the thing. You can't change things. You have to be yourself in the end. You know, I'm just me on the show. I'm Alex, warts and all. Except I don't talk about certain things. But the rambling has just got to go. It's got to be there. I'm sorry for that. Maybe I'll chop out a couple ums. I don't know. I'm not going to promise you anything. That's the kind of rebel I am. That's the kind of man I am. That's the kind of DJ I am. This next song will be introduced far less ramblingly, because I don't have a ton to say about it. Its meaning is pretty obvious, and it's an artist I just found out about really recently. I actually really like this album. I think it's called Blue Music, the artist Lo Fang. Yeah, I dig it. It's just kind of music for film sounding stuff. It's got a really nice ambiance to it. I'm all about it. And I think the song is quite good. And I think it's a good segue from being completely confused over, the previous stuff, you know, the, geopolitical things. There you can also be, confused over much more positive things. So yeah, this is a Lo Fang, Confusing Happiness.
I had to break the code, go mad. I tried to make a soul from scratch. If I could dream you in meticulous detail, would you ever come alive? Would you ever come alive? I'll dedicate my days and 14 of my nights. Will you ever come alive? Will you ever come alive? I want this, a confusing happiness, never knowing what comes next. I want this, all the agony and bliss from confusing happiness. The dawn, no birds around, reborn without a sound. I'll know the fire drowned. If I could dream you in meticulous detail, would you ever come alive? Would you ever come alive? since I began. It's taken 2 years in this hell. Will you ever come alive? Will you ever come alive? I want this, a confusing happiness, never knowing what comes next. I want this, all the agony and bliss from confusing happiness.
Confusing happiness. Very good song. I like it. I like being confused when you're happy. In my world, I'm always confused when I'm happy because it doesn't happen that often. Usually it's a miasma of cold and darkness that stretches out from here to well past the horizon. And every now and again there's shooting pains of something going wrong and anxiety nights of nothing going wrong and nothing going at all. And then every now and again there's a little glimmer of hope on a horizon. It's very nice. Also very confusing. That was pretty good. That's a thing, right? That was pretty good. I thought I articulated myself well there. I probably said the wrong word because I thought I did that kind of right. I'm sure somewhere I probably said a complete, like a word that sounds like one of the words I was trying to use. And, like I probably said like a ship on the Verizon and everybody thinks I'm talking about cell phone plans when I'm not. I was talking about a really beautiful thing and I just, didn't work. So yeah, that was Lofang. Good times. I don't know if you want to get the album. Maybe you do. If you do, tell him Alex sent you. I don't know why you would do that. It's actually kind of, it's like one of the weirder things I've ever said. Cause why would you tell? Well, maybe funny. Yeah. Why don't you say Alex sent you? Be good. I'd enjoy that. Good. It's agreed. I have another song coming up. Here's the thing. I have, let's see, 1, 2, 3. I have 3 more songs that I'm going to play for y'all. And 4 more songs I'm going to play for y'all. But one of them is a song I'm going to close on, I think. Yeah. So let's do... Yeah. This is Mr., which is a really confusing name for a band. It's MS space MR. And there was a band when I was a kid called Mr. Mister. And they sang that song Curry and Take These Broken Wings and Learn to Fly Again, Learn to Live So Free. And that Curry song, which the Curry song is actually really good. It's very hard to sing because the Curry moves into, because it's like Curry down the road that we must drive. Like it's this really weird, the syllables of it break down weird. So, since I'm talking about an 80s band called Mr. Mister, I'll stop now. So, this is, Ms. Mister, and the song's The Hurricane. And it's not the, Bob Dylan song about the boxer out of Paterson, New Jersey, where I grew up. I didn't grow up in Paterson. I grew up outside of Paterson, but in Paterson. I went to school in Paterson. Well, Paterson adjacent. I'm not good at introducing this song, huh? I just like the lyrics of this one. They make sense to me. Yeah, there's not a lot to go past that without over-explaining everything, as I'm apt to do, but I think this one pretty stands for itself. This girl has, this woman has a really nice voice, and the video for this song is kind of cool that I found. Yeah, it's kind of neat. Though if you watch the video of them, Ms. Mister, or two people, in the band, the fellow of it, who I'm supposing is Mister, makes really awkward 80s dance moves when he plays the keyboard. And he wears like 80s clothes, which I guess are popular now. but it's really awkward looking. At least on the, I watched the David Letterman set on YouTube, which you can find. Yeah, it's really weird, but her voice is really nice. And so I'm going to play this song for you, and then you're going to listen to it with your ears and your soul and your heart and your, the anvil and the hammer and the little hairs and the eardrum and then the ear canal and then the audio, lobe in your brain and then the speech centers in your brain. All of that is going to be combined to listen to Ms. Mister the Hurricane. Good one. I enjoyed listening to that. Fun times. Well, let's just keep on pressing forward. This is a song by the band The National. You guys know I like The National. I played them on the show a bunch. Back when I used to open the show with a different song each week, many episodes ago, before I decided to stop playing music because of fears from, you know, takedown bad boy notices from certain music industry types. I used to open the show with a song, and I opened with The National quite a few times. So, yeah, I like The National a lot, and this one is just, again, lyrically interesting. Don't have a lot to say about it. Yeah, that's it. I just want you to dig on the song. This is one I just kind of wanted to introduce you to, if you don't know them. Yeah, I like the song. I also recommend Wasp Nest. I love quite a bit. Cherry Tree is another really good one. And Murder Me Rachel is a terrible song. I don't like that one. Is okay, I shouldn't say I don't like that one, but he does this part where he's screaming Love Her to Ribbons, which would be cool, but like I just don't like his screaming voice. It seems like he was trying something that doesn't naturally go with the lyrics and the kind of the tone of the band. But pretty much everything else is good. Wasp Nest is really good. Maybe I'll play that later. I won't, because I'm pretty sure with musical editions, I'm going to be well at an hour, which is what I like to land at, even though most episodes go over an hour because I'm a really bad host. But anyway, this is The National Secret Meeting. Enjoy.
Didn't anybody tell you? Didn't anybody tell you how to gracefully disappear in a room? I know you put in the hours to keep me in sunglasses. I know. And so and now, I'm sorry I missed you. I had a secret meeting in the basement of my brain. It went a dull and wicked ordinary way. It went a dull and wicked ordinary way. Now, I'm sorry I missed you. I had a secret meeting in the basement of my brain. I'm ruined. Didn't anybody tell you? Didn't anybody tell you this river's full of lost sharks? I know you put in the hours to keep me in sunglasses. I know. I had a secret meeting in the basement of my brain. It went the dull and wicked ordinary way.
Song and then one last song, but this is one last song. So this one last song is by Joanna Newsom. Now, I love Joanna Newsom. I'm kind of obsessed with her. I found her on an episode of Adam's Motion and the Void. Sherwin Sleeves used one of her tunes in an episode. And as we all know, I love Adam's Motion and the Void. It's like my favorite bit of audio storytelling. He did the theme to the Alex Cast. So you know what he sounds like, at least when he does a silly song for a shitty podcast. But when he does his own really masterful audio work, He sounds completely different. So, yeah, he played Emily. He played Emily on an episode, and it was really quite good. And I was thinking about playing Emily, but I didn't want to do it because, I mean, technically Adam's Motion in the Void is a podcast. Oh, by the way, you can find it at adamsmotion.com or radioghost.com. If you ever need any of these links, just any episode of the show, I have a link to Sherwin's website because he did the theme. So every Alex cast since he did the theme has had his link in the show notes. So you can always find it. And, yeah. So he put Emily in, but I feel like since, Adam's Motion is technically a podcast, I didn't want to use the same song as he did. You know, it didn't seem fair. You know, it's kind of plagiarism or whatever, which I don't know if that makes any sense, but either way, the point is Sherwin Sleeves, he's a great man. Yes, he is. So, I'm going to play a different Joanna Newsom song. She is an artist, solo artist, sort of. I think sometimes there's other people playing with her, but most of it is just her and a harp. Or, yeah, there's other instruments playing, but usually it's her and a harp. And then there's one song where inexplicably there's a dude that sings, like one line. She sings the whole song. It's like a 5-minute song. She sings the whole song. And then there's this one part where there's just this random dude singing. I think maybe it happens twice in the whole song, but it's like, he probably has two lines. Yeah. It was just odd, which I'm not playing that song either. At least I don't think it's that song. Maybe it is. Who knows? The point is, I went back and forth and, Clam Cow Cockle Cowrie was almost the one I played. I almost played, The Milk-Eyed Mender. That's another, good song. I almost played Aaron. That's a good one. Sadie, another good song. A lot of Joanna Newsom songs. They're what I like to call good, but this is the one I chose to play for you all. I think it's beautiful. That's it. I think it's beautiful. And I think that's about it. So I hope you enjoy it. This is Miss Joanna Newsom. The lovely, lovely Joanna Newsom. There's no E at the end of her name, and I don't think she actually appears on the internet somehow. She's not on Twitter. I don't even know if she has a website. I don't know what she looks like, because I don't really like knowing what my artists look like. It colors my opinion of them at times. Though I did see one picture of Joanna Newsom, and she was wearing like a wolf hat, and it was kind of cute. But that could mean anything. I may have just found the wolf hat cute. You know, I have no idea. But I think she's probably one of those like pixie looking girls, and I got no problem with that. I don't know. The point is she writes really cool songs, and she says she uses words in her music that no other human being has ever fit in. I think Sprout, well, I'm about to play you Sprout and the Bean. There's one song she uses Antediluvian in a fucking, that's in Yarn and Glue, which is another great song, but she uses Antediluvian in a fucking song. It's so weird. Yeah, I just love it. She's just, her word choice is fantastic, and as a word nerd, I love that. Except, at one point she says, unless there's another meaning to that, she goes, boots as black as malachite. Malachite is green. So unless malachite, there's another meaning for it, but the mineral malachite is green. So I don't really know what that means. I mean, maybe there's a form of it that's black malachite, but I mean, the famous one is green. So anyway, this is Joanna Newsom, Sprout and the Bean.
I slept all day. I woke with this taste. And I railed. And I raved that the difference sprout and a bean. beneath the white throat and the hollow chatter of the talking of the tadpoles who know the outside. Should we go outside? Should we break some bread? Are you interested?
Fun one. I hope you guys liked it too, because if you didn't, I don't know if we can be friends anymore. But the good thing is, we're not really friends. I'm a guy you listen to on a podcast. Though, if you see the amount of people that download the show, it's actually statistically likely we are friends. Because, well, I'm insulting the amount of people that listen. Because that's what I do. I need to put myself down in order to bring myself up. Which isn't true. I just like using that thing that they do on the internet where you just say something like simple and then you inverse it and pretend it's wisdom. Like in order to bring yourself up, one must put themselves down. You know, where it's just like if you say something that vaguely relates to philosophy, but then kind of Yoda it up and then you post it on Twitter and then people with cleavage in their avatar will hit favorite and share it. At least that's been my experience. Since I got cleavage in my avatar. Good times. The fun of it. So, yeah, I'm going to do one more song, and I think... Yeah, I probably did the math wrong, but I don't really care that much. I hope this lands around an hour, so... If not, so it goes. There are certain things that... I will never stop loving. It's just impossible. Certain people, you can't put down your love. It just can't happen. Very cheesy thing I just said. I apologize for the cheese factor, but you have to say things like that sometimes. Especially when you play a random song. This is Elliot Smith. And Elliot Smith, apparently, I don't know anything about him. I actually didn't even like him for the most part until I think it was that Miss Misery song or whatever, but he was on the Royal Tenenbaum soundtrack, that movie, which you may know if you listen to the show, I've said many times before, is if not my favorite movie, it is often my favorite movie. Right now, I'm pretty sure it is. I love that fucking film. There's like one small little spot that I don't like, that bit where they go into... the bit where they go into, Jesus Christ, I was going to say Joanna Newsom. I'm just going to call it Gwyneth Paltrow because I'm doing a horrible job. Gwyneth Paltrow. Margot. Thank you. Tenenbaum's past and she's getting married to to reggae musicians. And I don't know. It's not even like it's a bad scene in the film or a bad little section. I'm not sure what it did for the plot. And I'm not sure it did anything to really explain more of her character. It was just like, oh, here's stuff she did. Which, I mean, yeah, you do get to understand the character better, but I think that was covered with her as a kid, you know, trying to find her birth parents and not caring when her finger got chopped off, like, and her marrying Raleigh St. Clair, and then her being paired with Richie and him running off. I don't know, I just thought the running off thing kind of had it covered. So, yeah. It's fine. It's a good scene. I just think tonally it's weird, and it doesn't really fit, like, in the pacing of the film. It's not that it sticks out. It's one of the things. So, this has nothing to do with it, but in that movie, one of the greatest parts of it is where Richie is, spoiler alert, but Richie's slitting his wrist and they're playing Miss Misery in that part, but The point is, there's Elliott Smith on that soundtrack, and that soundtrack kind of paired with, you know, my love of that movie, paired with, you know, tonally some certain things. I'm like, oh, I actually like this Elliott Smith guy. And when I moved out to Portland, which I guess he's from here or something, Elliott Smith, or at least Elliott Smith is quite popular here. I think he's actually is from here. But, yeah, I just started to get more and more into him. And yeah, I really kind of, I don't know, I just kind of fell for the dude. It was good times. So, yeah, this, Elliott Smith reminds me of Portland in a way. Like, it's kind of the, even though I sort of found him in New Jersey, it reminds me of Portland in a, like, even if he's from here, which now the more I think about it, I'm pretty sure he is, or lived here at least. That isn't why he reminds me of Portland. He reminds me of Portland, of the, kind of the, my shift of personality from, you know, one variant of Tom Waits fan to another one that I'm sitting here now talking to you. There's a certain, I don't know, there's a certain romance in it, I guess. Everything's about romance these days. Mostly because I'm stuck on that word. And there's a certain kind of, what is the better word? Certain kind of, I mean, romance, that's a problem. I need to get some synonyms here. We need some synonyms all up in this bitch. Yeah. Fun. So, yeah, this is, Elliott Smith, Everything Reminds Me of Her, which is a beautiful song, and I think you guys would like it. This is one of the songs that's really good, like, if you're ever in a bad place, and you're sitting around at a bar, and you're drinking whiskey, and, like, the table next to you is talking to each other, and they keep using the name of the girl you're heartsick over, or, you know, for the ladies, for the guy you're heartsick over, and, you know, just everything's terrible, and then this song comes on. This is a really great song to just stare into your whiskey and kind of, you know, meaningfully swilling about, you know, just kind of shake the glass in your hand and watch the ice cubes move, and if there's no ice cubes, then just slam it back, you know, like a toffee. But I think the ice cubes are good for this kind of a languishing moment. So you listen to Everything Reminds Me of Her, have the table to your right and behind you, start saying the name of your ex or the person that you're, like, kind of upset over or heartsick over. And then you listen to Everything Reminds Me of Her, you spin your whiskey around, and you drink whiskey and stare at the whiskey spinning and just think of the void and get sucked up into it. And I think that, in essence, is Elliott Smith. This is Elliott Smith. It's Everything Reminds Me of Her. It's a good song. So, yeah, enjoy.
I never really had a problem because of leaving. But everything reminds me of her this evening. If I seem a little out of it, sorry. Why should I lie? Everything reminds me of her. Spinning the earth and pale, the silhouette of the sun on the steeple. And I gotta hear the same sermon all the time now from you people. Why are you staring into outer space, crying? Just because you came across it and lost it, everything reminds me of her. Everything reminds me of her. Everything reminds me of her.